Welcome back to Weekly with WIC. With Halloween and the holidays just around the corner, we thought we would talk about social gatherings. Recognizing that family celebrations and social gatherings are part of our culture, and quite frankly, they're very deep-rooted in our DNA. And so we want to minimize the impact of COVID-19 transmission while still gathering. And we call this Gather Smart. So Dr. WIC, let's face it. People are still gathering. We're gathering because that's, like I just mentioned, it's in our DNA. Can you help walk us through some of your top three recommendations for us to gather smart?
Yes. Last week, the California Department of Public Health released guidance documents for private gatherings. And so I think that the first thing we need to talk about is the attendance. How many people can be in a private gathering? The way that it's listed is no more than three households. You want to keep the household stable, interacting with the same number of people over time. By doing so, we decrease the risk of transmission because it's the same people. We've also said that when you gather like this, the host should actually record the names of the people that are present. That's very important should somebody become sick. Sometimes people forgot who was there. Then we can quickly trace things down and deal with it as we need to. The second thing is we suggest that people gather outdoors if possible, you know, weather permitting, because it's significantly safer if you gather outdoors than indoors. If you gather indoors, then really you need to make sure that you're doing the spacing, 6 feet of spacing. That doesn't apply to direct family members. They can still be together, but the others in the group, the other families that are attending. And then what you don't want is you don't want mixing between the groups of people in the gathering. And for instance, if you gather in a park, you're having your party in a park, whatever, somebody else is having their own gathering, you don't want to be mixing with them. That's where we create problems. The next thing is don't attend a gathering if you're feeling sick or if you're in a high-risk group. And those are just simple things that people should do. And if we do those, then although it's not perfect, it's much safer than if you don't. And again, as you already alluded to, we're social beings. People want to get together. So let's be smart about getting together. If we look at the food service that happens, what we would suggest is that people not share food. In other words, it's best not to have a buffet set up and stuff, because what's going to happen is you're going to be touching common utensils. And although the virus does not live very long on those types of surfaces, it may live long enough that you touch your face, whatever, and it's a problem. Should you wear a face covering? You actually should, because again, you're trying to protect people from giving them something in this situation. If it was just your own family that you've been with, that's one thing. But if you're having three different households, three different families, it's really best, particularly if you can't maintain that distancing.
I know I heard you say the new recommendation for social gathering is less than three families at a time. So I've heard it also say that that's a quarantine, if you will.
Correct.
So kind of keeping into your own bubble mentality. So no more than three families. We don't want to commingle those three quarantines with other teams, if you will. Food not buffet style, probably more individual servings. If you're symptomatic or having any symptoms, to not engage in that social gathering. Obviously, observe normal social distancing parameters. Frequent hand washing, I know you've mentioned that before. And then also, ideally, masking.
Correct.
Did I miss any?
No, you've got them all.
Okay, we did it.
And I have to tell you, we've spent countless hours going over this with the state of California before they came to this conclusion. This was not an easy thing, but it's based on least amount of disease transmission.
Okay, well, that leads us into the next question. So what have we learned from other counties and even other countries that have been very successful and very dramatic with their dramatic reduction in COVID-19 transmission by using this sort of mentality of quarantine or stick within your bubble?
We've seen that that's been very successful both in the United States and internationally. But now what's happening is, again, we've talked about this COVID-19 fatigue. Mm-hmm. People are starting to go hog wild, and they're just sort of ignoring this advice. And we're seeing this huge uptick in cases in those countries who have actually been very successful, which is very sad. It's very sad. And so as long as people adhere to this guidance, and the thing is if we can make it so it's not so restrictive that mm-hmm. people can live with it, it's something they'll put up with. If we make it so restrictive, then they're not going to abide by anything. But at least if we can give them some ground rules that they can live with, we're more likely to be successful. I think that's one of the big things we've learned from all the countries who are having resurgence. Let's give people a little and hope that by giving a little, we save a lot.
Right, exactly. Minimizing the COVID fatigue, because it is a very real phenomenon. The last question we have from our community is, you know, with Halloween just around the corner and then quickly followed by Thanksgiving and Christmas, I would say ask you if politics, emotions, and all things sort of taken out of consideration, what is the one thing that you would ask our community to do?
That's a big question, Linda.
Pick one.
I think that the biggest thing that I would ask them to do is adhere to the advice we just gave them regarding social mm-hmm. gatherings. That will have more impact than anything else, because the majority of the cases in our community have been from social gatherings. So if we can change that behavior, we've made a huge dent in COVID-19, and we can hopefully move in a more positive fashion to a less restrictive tier.
So you're asking us simply to gather smart.
That's exactly right.
That's fair.
So, Lindsay, as we're talking about the upcoming holiday season, why don't we talk about the nearest holiday coming up to us, which is Halloween. There's a lot in the community that people are concerned about. This is a tradition. People get out there with their kids, and people have been cooped up for so long. What are you going to do to make it work? Well, I will tell you that there's a lot of things that are being done out there that are going to be different this year than every other year. We just recently had a very successful spooktacular. In addition to that, I'd just like to talk about a couple of safe ways that you can celebrate Halloween. One is you can have an online party, costumes, pumpkin carving, things like that. We can have the car parades. That's reasonable and safe. If you have a car parade, then what happens is individuals can dress up, go buy in a car, have judges stand outside and look at them and vote for them, something like that. You can have drive-in events where individuals receive a treat bag limited to something that was commercially packaged for them or non-perishable treat. And then things like that. You can dress up homes and yards with Halloween-themed decorations. You can have Halloween movie nights at drive-in theaters. Unfortunately, we don't have a drive-in theater right now. There can be Halloween-themed art installations at museums, things like that, that are allowed to be open. There are some things that we actually have to discourage for Halloween. The door-to-door trick-or-treating is not recommended because it's really difficult to maintain the proper physical distancing on the sidewalks, porches, and front doors. Who as a kid doesn't want to run to that bucket of candy? All of them do at the same time. So we really need to have that physical distancing. It's also discouraged to have trunk or treating, where children go from car to car to receive treats, because there, it's difficult for them to have their physical distancing. So I think those are some simple things that we've said that a person can do for Halloween. You can still enjoy the festivities, but do it in a safe way.
Well, we appreciate the creative solutions and suggestions. Thank you. So I appreciate your time as always. And, you know, Love Local is a weekly podcast to create community information and awareness and to provide real-time, transparent communication and information and facts. And the whole goal is to keep us on the lowest tier possible, which means our kids stay in school and our local businesses stay open. So thank you for joining us this week with Weekly with WIC. And we strongly believe that an engaged community is a vibrant community. And this episode was brought to us in part, or brought to you in part, by Expect More Tehama and our friends at the Foundation of Northern California. So be sure to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and even check out the website, Expect More Tehama. And if you have any comments or questions, DM us on those same social platforms. Thank you.